On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Come Monday, it'll be alright.
So good to me.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Yes, it is. That's right. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. I am Ron Van Dam. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. With Ron Van Dam, produced by Ron Van Dam, wearing Ron Van Dam's pants. I can't imagine wearing somebody else's pants. That's just unfathomable to me. I can't. You know, when you go to a clothing store to buy pants and you go into the dressing room to try them on, which I don't know if you're allowed to do right now. I've tried on pants before at various department stores. Remember department stores? Kids, you don't even know what department stores are, do you? No, they're not online. I mean, they are, but you used to be able to... Oh, so kids, you don't understand. You used to be able to walk into a store and touch things and try them on. Yeah, inside a building. I know. Unbelievable. Yeah, used to be that way. So I remember going into the fitting room, or what I more accurately call them the it doesn't fit room, because that's usually my experience in those things. Fitting rooms were fun, man. There was like private booths. You could do anything in there. You could get a little funky if you know what I'm talking about. You know, bring in the boyfriend, the girlfriend, whatever. Have yourself a little good time in there. You know what I'm saying? Some of them had actual doors with locks on them. I mean, whoa. This is, you know, why rent a room at the Holiday Inn when you can just do your stuff inside of a fitting room? Seriously? So I go into this tiny little cubicle, which resembled a jail cell, I guess. And they have hooks on the wall to put your clothes, which you're going to take off. You're going to take your clothes off. They should have fitting rooms in doctor's offices. When the doctor says, all right, remove your clothes and put the Johnny on, it should be a fitting room. It really should. So I take my clothes off, I hang them on the hooks, and I try on pants. Because pants, you know, the sizes don't matter. The sizes just don't matter. It's just a question of the manufacturing parameters of the particular pants maker. So you try them on, and then, as I said most of the time, well, these don't fit. They're too short. They're too tight. The waist is off. The crotch is not good. I mean, there's just the knees are not pretty. I mean, there's just tons of different reasons that pants wouldn't fit properly to your tailored body. So what do? You take the pants, you take them out to the department store, you hang them back up on the rack, and some other fool comes in there trying on the pants that you put your filthy legs into. Ugh. Or turn it around. I mean, you're trying on pants that come off the rack. Somebody else had their filthy legs in those pantaloons. Ugh. Ew. Oh. This is why we don't try on underpants and panties. Oh, you do? Ugh. Fitting rooms are cool, man. I I'm going to build one in my house. I'm going to build a fitting room and spend the entire day trying on my clothes. Trying on my own clothes. Have you ever done that? Going through your closet and you spend the whole day trying on your own clothes. It's a lot safer, but at the same time, it's depressing. Oh, these pants fit me 2 years ago. Now they don't fit at all. Oh, what's happened to my life? Have I gained that much weight? This is a sorrowful day in my life. Do I keep the pants, figuring maybe I'll lose weight someday and then they'll fit fine? Or do I just face up to facts that these aren't going to work anymore? Boom. Yeah. I don't know, man. Depressing to go through your clothes. Don't do it. Oh, God, don't do it. Don't. If you ever want to depress yourself permanently, don't try on your clothes in the closet. Oh, you know, we all have clothes in the closet that we just haven't worn for various reasons, or we've tucked them away in one of those plastic bins in the basement or in the attic. They smell of mothballs or mold, I don't know. And then you try them on, and it's a visit to what you used to be like. It's just, well, God, I don't fit in these things anymore. Oh, man. And men, don't put shirts on that you wore 5 years ago. You inevitably got fatter. Every single man will develop a beer belly, whether you drink beer or not. It may call it a food belly, call it a bread belly, a pasta belly, whatever you want, but you ain't going to fit in the stuff you fit in before. Your metabolism changes. Can you say that? Metabolism. That's depressing. It's just depressing. Try the opposite. Try losing weight. That's nice. And then you put the clothes on and they're way too big and you feel wonderful. Or you fit into clothes that you couldn't fit into a long time ago because you were too fat. Now they fit perfectly. I'm glad I kept these clothes. I'm glad I didn't give them away. I'll tell you a harrowing experience. It was my friend named Harrow. No, nobody's named Harrow. I'll tell you a harrowing experience. Oh, yes. This is a weird story.
Okay, get comfortable, everybody. It's time for one of Ron's funny stories.
Funny and harrowing. When's the last time you used the word harrow? I don't think you have. I just did. So, as you know, as I've told you 2,000 times, I've been doing a radio morning show for over 30 years, and I guess it was 10, 12 years ago, something like that, maybe a little bit longer, we did a lot of remote broadcasts from various stores in the Boston area, various companies and stores. We would do remote programs. It was fun sometimes. Basically, it wasn't fun. It was logistically awful, and it wasn't fun. Doing remotes on radio, pain in the big butt. We did one at, I don't remember if it was the Salvation Army or AmVets, or it was one of these places that sells clothing or gives away clothing. I think they sell it for like really cheap. And it's like a little department store, but it's clothing that people have given away to the clothing drive people. When you go in there, you're not supposed to have a lot of money. I don't think millionaires go shopping in a thrift store like that. I don't know. So we're doing a remote from there. I think it was a Salvation Army store. I think it was. And it was like a little clothing store. There were pants and shirts and sweaters and jackets and all those kinds of things that people buy to put on their bodies, and dresses and skirts and you name it. Usually when you did a remote like this, the owner of the store or the manager of the store would come over and talk about their goods because they paid for the remote. That's how we made money, and pretty good money. The store would pay for the show and pay the salaries, the extra salaries of the performers. It was not a bad deal as far as the finances were concerned. So the manager of the thrift store comes over, and again, I don't remember which clothing drive store it was. I think it was Salvation Army, but I don't know. There were no kettles around, so I have no idea. So, Salvation Army marching band. It's a trumpet and a kettle. Isn't that it? Anyway, so the manager comes over, a fine young lady, fine young lady, very caring, she cared. She just cared. I said, "What do you care about?" She says, "Everything. I just care about everything." I said, "Well," I said, "this is a great, the merchandise is incredible. What people give away and the prices are so low. I mean, like $1 for a pair of pants. Oh my God, this is really helping out people." And she said, "Thank you very much. I care. That's why, because I care." I said, "Let me ask you a question. Can you play the trumpet or the kettle?" She said, "That's not funny." So anyway, so I'm interviewing her and I said, "This is really fantastic." And I said, "So come on down, everybody, and visit. It's just an amazing place. Try on the clothes, bring them home. They've all been washed for your convenience." And she said, "Mr. Van Dam," I said, "Yes." She said, "No, we don't wash the clothes before we put it on." Excuse me. "No, we don't wash the clothes. That's up to the person who buys the clothes to wash them. We don't wash the clothes." "You mean I'm in a store with thousands of pants that other people have put their crotch into?" "Well, I wouldn't put it like that, especially publicly on the radio, you jerk." I was floored. All the stuff had just come off of people's bodies and it hanging on. So shouldn't there be a sign on the wall that says, "Caution, this stuff has just been on somebody's body"? That stuck with me for a long time, to this day, apparently. So when I go into a department store where they're selling actual clothes, and I know they're brand new right out of the factory in Korea, at the same time, I've got to realize that other people have tried these pants on in the fitting room and put them back on the rack and didn't buy them. And I'm shoving my stuff right into that.
And that was another funny story from Ron. Wait, that was supposed to be funny? Wow.
Kids are so honest. I love playing little clips of kids because, first of all, they're not actually present in the room when you're playing an audio clip. And secondly, they're so honest, it's really hurtful. It's really hurtful. Yeah. A little kid will just be too honest. You know, you show them a picture of yourself when you were young, and the kid will look at the picture and look at you and say, What happened to you? You used to be pretty. Now you're not." Child, you don't go there, child. Don't say that to people. But children don't know. They're too honest. So why can't I be honest with children? Excuse me, little child. You bug the hell out of me, you little... But you can't do that, you see. It's a one-way honest street. They're honest with you. You can't be honest with them. Now, let me tell you a story, little child. There's a big fat man in a red velvet suit, comes down the chimney, eats your cookies, and leaves your presents, goes back up the chimney, and does it to every single house in the whole world, and then some.
"Oh, really?"
"Yes, really. I've just lied to my child. But not only a believable lie like, well, it's after 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the park closes down, we really should be taking a nap instead of going out to the park. That's a believable lie. The park doesn't close at 2. It closes at sunset. The kid doesn't know that. But it's believable that it could have closed down. Is it believable that a stranger, a fat one at that, comes down your chimney, of which you don't even have one, eats your cookies, leaves presents, and goes up the chimney to a couple of reindeer on your roof? Reindeer on your roof? And magically, like, goes out of sight through the air, flying to the next house, which is only like 20 feet away. It just, nothing makes sense about that story at all. Nothing. Where does Santa live? The North Pole, where no one else does. Finding this hard to believe. And why don't children ask the obvious, what about all those Santa Clauses I see in all the department stores? There's like 2 million of them. What are you talking, how can there be 2 million Santa Clauses? Those are his helpers? I don't know. Stop asking me questions. The park closes at 2. Kids can't make sense of things. They can't. They don't know. So we lie to them, but the lies are incredible. They're incredible. You know, when your tooth comes out, a strange person comes into your room while you're sleeping, takes your tooth and leaves a dollar bill. Kid doesn't ask any questions, yet is afraid of monsters in the closet, but has no problem with a stranger coming in and taking stuff from under their pillow while they're sleeping. That's not a problem. Nothing makes sense, children. Grow up. Figure it out. And where do you hear the fact that Santa Claus doesn't exist? By the way, for any kids in the room, I'm only kidding. Where do you hear the fact that Santa Claus actually doesn't exist? Where do you hear it from? Your friends. And how do you hear it? In a defeating manner. But do you ever blame your parents? No, you don't, because that's what you're supposed to do, lie to your children. I don't have any problem with that. It sets the precedent. Actually, the precedent actually lied for 4 years. Probably still thinks there's a Santa Claus, some dark web Santa Claus or something. I don't know. Anyway. We have a great guest coming up very shortly. The guest isn't short. The time period before the guest appears is apparently short. We're going to talk about allergies, food allergies. Yeah. There are organizations that are concerned about. They care. So we're going to talk to one of these people momentarily, and I hope that you will enjoy that, certainly. By the way, today is a Martin Luther King Day. Mentioned that. It is a holiday, a federal holiday. And we do pay homage to a man that had the balls to stand up and change society as best he could at the time. We're still changing that situation as best we can. But what a courageous and incredible man. These are people that are really worth their weight in gold on the planet. That's true. So today is a holiday honor. Take just a moment and recognize people that change society for the better. There aren't a lot of them, believe me. As a result, it is a federal holiday. There is no male today, also no female, which means no sex. And post office is closed. A lot of government buildings are closed today, which they have been all year because of the pandemic anyway, so I guess that doesn't make a difference. But so there you go. Of course, stores are open. They'll they'll turn somebody's honorable day into a reason to sell mattresses at a discount or love seats. I'm telling you, it's amazing. To honor Martin Luther King, we have a love seat 20% off and 0% financing for 5 years. Wow, that's a deal. Thank you, Martin. God, this is a sick society. It's not well. The society is not well. All right, ladies and gentlemen, our guest joins us. So please, if you could just stand over there so our guest has some room. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Oh, and we have another child involved in a commercial. This will be fun.
Ain't always easy these days to know what to give your kids for snacks. Sugary this, high fructosey that. Heck, even the stuff they call natural ain't always natural. But there's one snack when your kids ask for it, you know exactly what you're giving them.
I want Piggy Parts. I want Piggy Parts.
Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Parts are 100% all-natural salt-preserved pig parts. What parts, you ask? Well, some folks would call them scraps or ears or hoofs, but kids just call them delicious. And with their stiff, leathery texture, one Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Part will last a kid all afternoon. That's what we call value. So stock up now for school. You'll find them at the end of the pet food aisle in original, barbecue, or vinegar, garlic, teriyaki, onion, habanero, pineapple flavor. Give them a try and you'll see why kids say,
That's some good piggies.
Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Parts.
Lisa Gable joins us. Quite an impressive person. She's worked for presidents of companies, industries, in the food and beverage, and then some, making companies and organizations better than they are, or better than they were. Congratulations on your life's work. Very impressive. Okay.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Now, we're talking about food allergies, research and education and such, and it seems that every year we're more aware of food allergies than ever. When I was a child, I don't remember discussing this at all. What has happened?
Well, what we know is that food allergies have been on the rise, increasing by 4% annually for the last 20 years. Oh. And FAIR is investing heavily in research to understand the underlying causes of the disease. Why is it rising? But one of the most important things that we've learned is that around the late 90s, pediatricians were actually discouraging parents from feeding their children proteins, which could trigger an allergic reaction. Mm-hmm. And now what we have found out is that it's actually important to feed those proteins to the children. The dietary guidelines highlighted the need for introducing peanut, because if you do, when a child's immune system is getting trained between 4 and 6 months old and then throughout the first 2 years of life, we could actually mitigate the rise of the disease.
Oh. Are peanuts one of the most common allergies to nuts?
They are the most common. It's about 25% of 32 million people that have life-threatening food allergies. Mm. And then the other top 9 allergens are milk, shellfish, tree nut, egg, thin fish, wheat, soy, and sesame. And FAIR's advocating that sesame be added to labels so that families are aware of what's in the product that they're buying.
I'm very impressed in restaurants where the servers apparently, by instruction, have asked before they take an order, does anybody have any food allergies at the table? That's new, and that's very impressive.
It's really important, and it comes through the very hard work of many of the advocates of FAIR over the last 10 years that have had that legislation passed at the state level to require labeling and require that people start asking questions and really focus on cross-contamination. Mm-hmm. We recently put out a study which did show that how important it is for restaurants and the fact that people actually do go into anaphylaxis at restaurants when they don't ask the right questions. And so it's a critical issue for us, and it's one that we want to make sure that we work with the restaurant industry to ensure that people are safe when they go out to eat.
Mm-hmm. And it also certainly behooves the client to make this known as well.
It does. I mean, you really have to be specific. And sometimes you need to remember that, you know, maybe the person serving you is a young person. They know that they're supposed to ask this question, but they're not going to have the level of understanding that you do about cross-contamination. Right. So one of the things that our research showed is that it really, you know, the customer needs to ask a few more questions, particularly if they have high sensitivity, to just ensure that everything in the background is working in a way that will make them safe. And, you know, as you're visiting restaurants, perhaps with different types of ethnic food, just heightened awareness as to what types of substitutions might be made that would introduce your allergy when you weren't expecting it.
Now, tell me about the FASTER Act. This is a legislation that is very widely supported. I understand that it's a bipartisan bill. I don't even think those words go together anymore. It's amazing that that's the case. But
it is. It's a bipartisan bill, both in the House and the Senate. We had over 90 co-sponsors, Republicans and Democrats, support the bill, and actually had it passed in the Senate and the House, but unfortunately it didn't make it to the desk of the president in those last hurried months of 2020. However, let me tell you what it does. The FASTER Act is the Food Allergy Safety Treatment and Education Research Act, and our primary focus is adding sesame as the top 9th allergen. There are 1.5 million Americans who are allergic to sesame and can go into life-threatening anaphylaxis. And it's an ingredient that's really become very dominant in a lot of foods during the last couple of years, which is one reason we want to make sure that when you're buying your food, you know what's inside of it.
Yeah, we are turning a lot more food cultural these days, which is wonderful as far as culture is concerned, but it does introduce various possibilities. I'm sure that with the change of presidents shortly, that this bill will go through as a priority, certainly.
We have high hopes.
Well, I assume that would be the case, though. Now, a little bit off the track here, as people grow older, I know some people that develop especially seafood allergies, which they had never had through their adult life, but as seniors started to develop that. What is that about? Can they actually develop later in life and not be so set in childhood?
They can. In fact, what we know is that 85 million Americans are actually food intolerant or have food allergies to the top 9 allergens, and a lot of those are adults. And again, FAIR's doing the research to understand what's going on in the gut. You hear a lot about gut health. What's going on and what's causing people to develop these allergies or these sensitivities later in life? As it relates to shellfish, you know, one of the things our doctors point out is that a lot of people don't eat it on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes what they see is that if somebody takes a vacation somewhere where there's a lot of shellfish, all of a sudden they're eating more than they would have in the past, that sometimes that can trigger anaphylaxis. And so as we do our research, we want to focus on gut health. We want to understand why it is that sometimes our food makes us sick, and then what FAIR can do in our research and developing therapies to make sure that we are finding innovative treatments to help all patients.
Very, very interesting. Is it difficult sometimes to tag exactly what the allergy is to, what food, what object? Is that a difficult process, or has that become easier now with technology?
Well, one thing I would say is that food manufacturers are spending a great deal of time improving technology, investing in technology to ensure that they can understand if there's any type of cross-contamination in the food that's being manufactured. We recently had a very sad incident where a little boy got very ill. His family is very engaged with FAIR. And I have to do a call out because the manufacturer has actually been able to go back, find the batch, find exactly where that food came from. And now they're working with FAIR and the family to figure out how they can ensure that that never happens to another child. And so there are a lot of processes, but you have to be diligent and you have to be very careful.
Yeah. There are so many possibilities, you do. For anybody that has allergies to foods or concerned about it or has a family member so involved, where would they get more information?
Well, thanks for asking. They can go to foodallergy.org to learn more information. And then I also encourage you to visit our Living Teal channel on YouTube, which has really fun content brought by Rashad Jennings and Heather Booker and a lot of different athletes and Food Network stars to make sure that we can help you live your best life. So go to foodallergy.org and then go to our Living Teal channel.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your time today. Pleasure speaking to you. And you take care of yourself. Well, that will do it for me today. You have been wonderful as usual. I don't know how you do it. I couldn't do it. I'll be back again tomorrow, which I think is Tuesday, or it could be Wednesday, or it could be Thursday. I think it's Tuesday. Not sure. Then the day after that is, of course, Wednesday, which is Inauguration Day, which has transposed itself into Will the Country Survive Day. Because during the inauguration, at this point, it is going to be a dangerous situation. It could be the worst day in history, not because of the incoming president, but because of the threat of violence. There are even great concerns of assassination attempts. Wednesday, man, we better make it through Wednesday, otherwise I don't even want to think about it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, stay safe, be peaceful, and I do wish you peace. I'll be back again tomorrow.